Welcome to the Training Design Podcast with me, Sheridan Webb of the Training Designers Club, where we make training design quicker, easier, and less stressful for busy L&D professionals. In each episode, I'm joined by a VIP member of the Training Designers Club or a specially invited guest to talk about a specific element of training design that they have expertise in that we can use to improve or refresh our own practice. And today I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Alex Costello-Cortez of CCW Consulting. Your partner George was supposed to be joining us today, but life has taken over. But I'm delighted that you've come along, Alex. Do you want to just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you and George do.
Well, thanks so much for having us. It's really lovely to be here. I'm delighted to be here with you today, Sheridan. And I'm just so sorry that George isn't here. But George and I run CCW Learning Consultants, as you mentioned. And our background very much is in retail background and IT background and induction. So we very much look at how we can help people to really become embodied in a new organization and land really sort of running full force into a new role. So that's what we're here to do. And that's what we love doing.
Yeah, I must admit, when I was a proper consultant back in the day, induction programs were probably my favorite thing to design. I loved doing an induction program. And I think it's because as an external person, it allowed me to unleash my inner Greg Wallace in that I got to go around the factory. They never let me push the button. I was absolutely fascinated because in order to write an induction, I had to learn or get an overview of the business. And it was just, I couldn't believe I was getting paid.
To go and explore somebody else's business. It's really exciting.
It is, and rightly so. So much investment is made in leadership development programs because obviously that has a massive impact on any organization. But induction, I think, is just as important, isn't it? Because if we're getting people in and we know how expensive that can be, and then we're not settling them quickly, we're not helping them be productive quickly, that again is a massive, massive loss to a business.
I think it's almost more important because I think, you know, really, really good induction, which they see as being that employee experience, you know, is absolutely crucial nowadays, almost more to the point where with this generation, they do their research before they even apply to a job.
Yeah.
And they apply to those companies where the induction or the onboarding or the experience is really good. And the feedback that they get through social media is really positive. So if you want the really best people to apply, you've got to have that really good induction, absolutely down to a T. You've got to get it really, really well done.
Yeah, because it's all very well enticing people in, but obviously once that honeymoon period has gone over, and it can be quite a bit of a shock factor, can't it? Which is like, this is not what was advertised.
No, and you've got to keep them and the only way you can really keep them is if you've engaged them. And you've engaged them from day one, and then you keep that engagement going and you build that relationship and you build that rapport so that they get to know the business and they like the business because of the rapport that you build. And that's how you keep them, really. Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, I mean, we're both middle-aged ladies. and, you know, we grew up in a time when, you're lucky to have a job.
But that
attitude is not there anymore. It's no, this organization is lucky to have me, frankly.
It is. Yeah. And it is. You're absolutely right. It is that real change of thought process where, you know, as we said, you know, you and I, we got a job. We were lucky to have a job. Nowadays, they, you know, when they're looking for a job, they cherry pick and they do their research and they look for feedback. You know, that would never have occurred to me to go and do, you know, to look at social media to get some feedback on a company and what their induction process was like. To them, it's so crucial. And it just makes a whole difference about whether you get the right candidate and the right people that you're after or whether you don't. You miss that opportunity right from day one.
Yeah. And I think induction has changed hugely since we started our careers. Yeah. I mean, I started my career back in the 90s
and quite rightly.
I mean, it used to be, sadly, Alex, this still does exist in some organizations where you have a 2-hour safety orientation.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you like, get on with it. So what I would like, I know what my opinion is, but I'd love to know what is induction to you? Obviously, it's a big question, but what do you think an induction program is, should do. Over to you.
Wow. So, you know, sort of dream induction, I think is what I would like to call it. That's like dream, that dream induction would be almost starting early. So I think I think we have induction and then we have almost onboarding, but just concentrating on the induction just to begin with. So that kind of coming through the door is, A, you have to judge it so that you don't give them too much too soon, so they drown in information on day one, which I think it can be a real danger. I think it needs to be a little bit hybrid, so a little bit of face-to-face perhaps, and a little bit of virtual learning, so you can do that, but also a little bit of interacting with the team. So again, it's that, yes, you need to do the health and safety, but it should also be about, actually, what organization am I working for? Who is this organization? What are the values that they want, that they like, and that has attracted me to apply for this job? Mm. And then having done all of that, actually, who am I working with and what makes me feel safe?
Yes.
So what makes me feel part of the team? And that, I think, is building that rapport is so, so very important. So I think induction tends to be a combination of many different factors to really give that employee experience some depth, I think, and to improve that relationship.
Yeah. So I know that we're broadly on the same page with this, which is why I wanted to talk to you anyway, because it's lovely to talk to a kindred spirit.
We love induction.
We do love induction. But so that the day of, you know, putting people in a room for a day, bringing out a representative from each department, going through a slide deck, telling them all about it. I mean, I have this is going to come out really, really muddled, I think, because this is how I think. That sort of, yes, that's important.
Yes, yeah,
we need to understand the history. We need to understand what all the different departments do. But as you said, we don't need to do it all on day one, where people have no hooks to hang it on. They don't know how to process the information. And it's just, well, so what? Almost.
Yeah, and I think it almost needs to be broken up. I mean, I know that when we design induction, we tend to break it up so it's bite-sized pieces.
Yeah.
And so you might do a little bit on day one, a little bit on day two, a little bit on day three. But I think the really key bit is making sure that all the sort of health and safety and the views and the organizational bits are all there in those bite-sized chunks, but they need to be incorporated into the, right, who is my line manager? Where is my desk? Who am I working with? Do I have a buddy? And even down to, where are the loos and where do I go and have lunch?
Absolutely. That is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you need to come home on day one going, right, I know where I'm sitting. I know that my boss is this person and she's lovely and I've got a buddy and I've got a telephone number and I'm logged onto my system, which makes a huge, huge difference. And that's a whole new conversation.
Well, I was going to say, it's scary how often people start in an office-based environment and haven't been issued with a computer.
Oh,
I mean, even these days. And you think, how does that make you feel as a new starter? You turn up, your manager has decided to take the day off, or they're in back-to-back meetings all day. There isn't a computer for you. Yes, somebody knows that you're going to be there, but you're just sat around feeling like a spare part. I mean, it's just, after all the build-up, you've had all these lovely, you know, hopefully these days in induction, you've been sent information, you may have done a little bit of e-learning, like you say, you've researched the values of the company, you turn up keen as mustard, and what a letdown.
And it's like a deflating balloon, and you just think, really? And then they go home going, well, it was all right. And you're thinking, no, you need to go home going, I had the most fantastic day.
Yeah,
I can't wait to go back to tomorrow. Because the worst thing in the world for any line manager is to come back the next day and your lovely new delegate, your lovely new employee doesn't turn up.
Yeah.
Because actually day one was so traumatic that actually they don't want to come back.
Yeah.
And HR have gone through all this time and effort and the interview process and the money it's involved to hire this employee. And actually on day one, we let them down and they don't come back.
Yeah.
That's the bad result. We don't want that. And that's something we can avoid with a really good induction process.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to happen.
And it's been too often in the past, you look at it from the legal perspective, and obviously we need to keep people safe at work. That's obviously, but we also need to look at it from the employee's point of view. So, and as exactly as you said, I need to know who my colleagues are, where I can get my lunch, who I can speak to. This is what matters to me. I've written a few things down because I forget, because I get so excited by induction. So, and I've actually got a guide to induction, so I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. So if we think about the urgent, important matrix, which we use all the time, the stuff that we should be doing in the first couple of days is not, there's so much that's important. So, you know, there are your whistleblowing policies and this, that and the other, you know, it's important, but they really don't need to know it on day one. So your first couple of days should be the important and urgent stuff. And then, as you said, we can drip feed the important things out over the next days, weeks, depending on the role. I mean, how long would you say a typical induction program should last, Alex?
Oh, we see that. I this is a very contentious, because I think induction is an ongoing process. It's a long process. It's not something that takes 2 days or a week. You know, proper induction, you know, should really take a couple of months, if I'm honest. And people look at me as if I'm absolutely mad. And just good induction means that you don't just go, right, well, I've given you all the bare bones of what you want. Have a lovely time. Brush my hands off and I go to the next, I go to the next person. That is not induction. That is just passing people through a process. And proper induction is actually, so how are you doing? Catch up meetings, right? Have you embedded the first, you know, whether it's a system or a process or whatever tools they need to the job. And then you move on to the next level where you go, right, well, are we ready for the next step? You know, do you have any questions on what you've done so far? How can we help you? You know, do you have any concerns or are there gaps? And that's done with a line manager. So you don't just get the new starter, but you get the line manager's view as well. And the idea is to empower really the delegate, the new trainer, the new employee to develop and grow. And that doesn't take part in the first week. That is an ongoing process.
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing. Thankful that more organizations have grasped the idea that the induction isn't just, you know, 1 or 2 days in a room with someone from HR. It requires more than one person to deliver it.
It's a team effort.
Absolutely. And that includes the new employee as well. So they have to do things for themselves. And, you know, going back to some of the induction programs I wrote 10 years ago or so. So there were guides. There's a guide for the manager. There's a guide for the employee. And I'm going to use a reference now that if anybody gets this reference, please let me know, because no one else has ever come across. When I was a kid, I used SMP cards in maths.
Right.
I think it must have just been our school because no one else knew what it was. But the whole point was you went to a box, and the box was with the level that you were working at, and it had different topics in there. And each topic had anything from like 6 to 15 cards. So you would pull out your card and you would do the task. You would get it marked. You would put it back in. So I wrote induction programs with this sort of model in mind. So, you know, all these things need to be done, but they need to fit in with the natural flow of work. So if you're working in retail, and this is your background, I know. Yep. So one of the things I need to do is learn how to process a refund, but let's learn how to do that in the flow of work. Here's some guidelines. Here's an opportunity, rather than teaching it completely out of sync with everything else. So, and you can check, you can tick things off. You can see your progress, however long it takes. Right. I'm going to let you talk in a minute.
I'm bated breath. Yeah, I know. Let's go on.
I have this idea that an induction should allow you to be basically competent in the core aspects of your job.
Yeah.
So you're not brilliant at everything. No. Think about the 80-20 rule. Those 20% of tasks that take up 80% of your time, that's what your induction program should cover.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about given, you know, doing the training at the right time as you're doing the job. You know, one of the pushes that we would get sometimes from my background is that there is sometimes a desire that, you know, when you have a new person within your office, you know, as a line manager, you just want all their training done and out the way.
Yeah.
Quickly do the training, just get all the training done and then, you know, give the person back to me and then we can do the day job. And the answer would be no, actually, we can do exactly what you were saying. We can give them the 20% that they need, which is that core that core foundation knowledge, so that, you know, they know how to do, you know, the allocation, whenever it may be, or I can raise an order on the system. So I know how
they can be useful in the team.
They can be useful and they need to be useful. Mm. And then you do the right. Well, then actually later down the line, then actually you can learn about exactly how I set a forecast, because I don't need to know that on day one, but I will further down the line. And I can do that as my manager says to me, right, now it's time to do forecasting. And you can go, right, I'm actually doing training, or I've got the handout, or I've got the e-learning, whatever it may be, and I can do that at the same time as I do the role. And that is much more effective in your learning than it is to give everything and bombard them in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Or not give them at all, which is the other option.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. But I think having that route through is important for everybody, isn't it? Because you want to see that you're progressing. And I think line managers need to see that they are getting results.
Yeah, yeah. And I think line managers also, they are very happy if they know there is a very set path. It doesn't have to be a rigid path, but they need to know that there is a journey that their new person's going to take. So that they can also understand that this is where they are on their journey, and that, you know, training can be adapted, depend on the time of year, to fit with the roles that they need to do. But they need to know that there is this journey. And the other thing that we used to do is we would say, right, well, you've done this bit of training, we've completed this training, go back to your office, do it, and your line manager will know that you have completed this training. They have a checklist.
Yes.
So they understand what it is that you have just done, and then you can have a conversation with your line manager to find out, actually, have I done it as, you know, as applicable? Have I done the right thing? Did I have any concerns? So it becomes a two-way conversation between the two of them, that they're happy that that bit of foundation knowledge has been embedded. And that is another part of the whole training process. It's not just down to, you know, to the training program itself.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, obviously you've done things more recently, your inductions are more tech orientated than mine, where I was working for builders, merchants and things like this, where it was, you know, a clipboard and a pen. But I think having what I tended to do was having that checklist for the line manager, because the line manager feels scared. It's like, I'm not a trainer, I don't know how to train them. And of course, they don't have to do all the training themselves. So some of the induction programs I wrote for the individual, it was go and speak to a colleague or a specialist, make an appointment with, get them to show you this. And they had a checklist, show this. Da, da, da. So it was being shared out, but then they could come back to the manager and say, right, I've done this exercise. But the manager would have a corresponding checklist that would say, ask them about this, observe them doing that. And that took the pressure off the manager, because I think a lot of them, if you say, right, you have to train your new employee, they're like, I don't know where to begin. I'm not a trainer. I don't know what to do.
Oh, I don't have time.
They're good with checklists, aren't they?
They are really good with checklists. And, you know, and I think we forget, you know, sometimes, you know, there are lots of new managers out there as well, you know, and if you're a relatively new manager and suddenly you have a new employee in your office and you've never had one before, how do you even know where to begin?
Exactly.
You know? And again, it goes back to what you were saying right back at the beginning, that line managers need training and support too.
Yes.
But if we can help with that journey for them, and we can give them the checklist that they need, or we give the guidance and support, suddenly it takes away that fear factor, and it just makes it a much more all-encompassing experience for everybody, because you're all on the same program, you're all on the same wavelength, and you all know what you're trying to achieve and when.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
So it would be interesting. So, I mean, obviously, we're both massively passionate about induction training.
Yeah, well, I know, I love it. You're talking about for hours. I know.
So if we've got anyone listening to this who thinks, oh, I need to design an induction program, and this is a big question for you, Alex, and I apologize for landing it on you, how would you advise them to begin?
Wow, that's a really big one. I'd almost be tempted to start talking to, I mean, in your head, you will know that you need to do the health and safety, and you need to do the organization, and you'll know the various things that you need to tick off. But I'd almost be tempted to actually talk to line managers, talk to people who've newly arrived in the business, talk to HR, to almost understand what their expectations are. And what worked well for them and what didn't work well for them, because then you can avoid some of the pitfalls, but also take on board some of the ideas that did work for other people. You might want to have a look at other companies too, what other companies have done. You know, we always have a look around to see what other people are doing, because people have new ideas. You know, it doesn't have to be all in a classroom, for instance. Think outside the box a little bit, I think, sometimes for induction, because I think sometimes we can get a little bit stuck in a rut when we do induction. But I think it's one of those things that you always want to put everything that you feel is important that needs to be covered. And then going back to what you were saying earlier about the 20-80 rule, identify what are the really important bits that have to be covered at the beginning, and then kind of space out for me. You then work out, okay, well, this needs to be done in week one, week two, whatever it may be. And you work out your timeline and you almost plan that journey for your delegates. And it might be different for different roles. And I think that's
absolutely
not size fits all ever. And I think you need to be very cautious of that. That vanilla approach can be quite dangerous. So, you know, within, you might have a vanilla course, but actually within that, do you then go, right, well, this needs to be a specialist course for this particular group. And how do we do that? Does that become e-learning? Does that become a virtual course? Did we do a 3-day course? You know, again, you build it. But I always start with, okay, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? What does this person need to know by the end of their induction training? What is the objective? What is their, you almost need to look at what their job description is. What is their job descriptions and what are the outcomes that they have been set to achieve? Because that's what you need to help them achieve.
Yeah,
that's really what you're there to. At the same time, you also need to include things like the organization and the values and where the company is going and the health and safety bit. That I think is it goes without saying. It's really, what is their job description and how do we help them to achieve that gain? And then what might be the next step for them?
Yeah.
So, you know, for retail, you know, they might come in as a merchandising assistant, but you know they want to become a merchandiser. So, okay, so you do the first lane, as it were, of induction training, and then think, right, what would be the next process if I then wanted to step up?
Yeah.
So again, it's a huge, I could go on for hours, and I'll stop there because our listeners will be like, oh my gosh, she's still going. But I think that's where I think I would begin. And then it becomes a massive, it could become massive, but it can become contained. It becomes very much a building block, which is how you break it down and make it manageable.
Yeah. A couple of things that you said there triggered thoughts in my head. And you've pretty much said this. It's that some activities are compulsory and some are optional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just role related, but also time of year related. So you might be working in a distribution center, which does one particular product and it's massively busy. So actually, we are only going to do the compulsory things because we need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going through a quieter period, you can do lots of the optional training. So having that flexibility, I think, because, you know, people go to work and they want to actually do the job. So the induction activities need to fit around the work. And I see it very much as at the very start, in the first couple of weeks, it's induction heavy. You're being led by HR, by your manager, by whoever. And then that just tails off over time. So you become more and more just integrated into the team with, oh, well, I've got myself a couple of hours, I'll do that activity. So I think I think
it needs to be modular. I mean, I know people talk about bite size and modular training on a regular basis. But I think that it needs to be flexible. Induction has to be flexible.
Very much so.
To be flexible. And it has to be so people can go back and revisit it.
Yes.
And I think that's the other thing. Going back to you talking about what you were saying, it being seasonal, you know, it may be all encompassing right now. And having done it, you know, you may not do it for 6 months.
Mm.
And then suddenly you're back around to that time of year again. And you need to be able to go, oh gosh, I know I've done it, but I probably need a refresher.
Exactly.
How do I find it? Where do I find it? And that is the other thing. You know, training must be easily, and I do say the word easily quite importantly, easily accessible.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you make some of the self-help, I say this with a wry touch, self-help environments can be so complicated that actually trying to find the relevant bit that you just need to refer to becomes almost impossible. And that puts people off learning, and that needs to be overcome. You know, you need to be easily accessible.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you do a lot of e-learning. You're far more skilled in designing that than I am, and we know that e-learning is a useful tool as part of the induction, particularly if you're office based. But we shouldn't be trying to put all of our induction onto e-learning. I think building that network of people who can help you is incredibly important. Like we say, checklists, maybe an app. And when you were talking about using different methods, my mind went straight to an organization I worked with, and they had a lot of drivers. Now, if you're driving a lorry, you are going to go insane if they want you to sit in a classroom for 5 days. You want to be in your cab. No, so
absolutely, absolutely. It's just not what that's not how you work.
So doing things, you know, listening to podcasts, having an app. Yeah. Exactly. So we have to make it accessible in as many ways as certain things need to be signed off. I understand that. So there needs to be a yes, they have been told the IT security policy. They understand it. Makes total sense, you know, the fire safety. But a lot of things, an ideal induction program would cover it in a number of ways.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and also, you know, you might have buddies, you know, the other option is to have a buddy.
Yes.
And I do think, I mean, probably a buddy system, or I don't know what they call it nowadays, but buddy sounds quite old fashioned, but it is what it is. And actually having that somebody who was a neutral person that you can go to go, this may sound like a really stupid question, and I'm sure I've been told it 3 million times, but I just can't remember. You need to have that ability and somebody to go, it's absolutely fine. I could never remember this too.
Yeah.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
And you need to have that somebody who is not necessarily part of your team, that's not your line manager, that's not a trainer, that you can go to and go, could you just remind me how I do this?
Yeah. And I think that is a fantastic, we talk a lot in the VIP community. Obviously, a lot of trainers are involved in training first line managers, understandably. There is a feeling that a lot of managers become managers without really understanding what it is. They take it for the wrong reasons. And actually offering somebody the opportunity to be a buddy or a workplace mentor without having responsibility for managing that individual could be a really lovely like a half step forward for them. So they've got that bit of extra responsibility. They're being recognized for the value they add to their team, for their skills, for their expertise. And I know not every organization can pay extra for that, but if you can, just a small wage enhancement, and that takes the pressure off the line manager, of course, as well.
Well, it does, and it shares the load. And also, you know, that sense of recognition that you get from somebody. I mean, I remember, you know, back in the day, very many moons ago, and I, you know, I was asked to be somebody's mentor, and the satisfaction that you gain as a person thinking, wow, somebody actually values me, that I can support somebody else and enhance their growth.
Yeah.
And it's a huge compliment. And that feeling of self-worth is like nothing else, really.
Yeah.
As you say, not many companies will pay you to be a mentor. But actually, I don't necessarily think it always matters. I think actually it's just that the recognition in itself can be enough.
Yes. Yeah. And people will take pleasure from doing that. And as you say, as a new employee, you don't want to be bothering your line manager all the time.
No. And having a mentor is lovely. And I also think it for those people that are developing, it gives them the chance to go, actually, do I like this kind of role? Do I want to be a manager?
Yes.
Is this just not for me? I know I'm really good at my job. I love my job, but I just don't want to take that sort of people interaction is just not for me. Mm. So it gives you a chance to give it a try and see whether you like it or develop a skill.
Yeah. And certainly when I was designing inductions for larger organisations, that it was always very much the employee had responsibility, the line manager had responsibility, obviously HR and training did, there was this buddy system put in place, and we actually provided, or the company did, I personally didn't, provided training for buddies. And it was only very light touch, but it was this is what the role is. This is what we expect you to do. So this is how you can ask really good questions. This is how you can give them feedback. So it was just very light touch. But they're useful skills for everybody.
But they are. But also you become part of a network of buddies.
Mm.
So you in turn join a club, for want of a better word, where you all appreciate the fact that you have been given this responsibility. And again, it's that building of that grouping, that partnership together, which I think is so important, that again, you're part of a really worthwhile group that is helping your company develop the people within your organization. And you are part of that. You are an active part of that building and that development. And that's really important.
Yeah, it is. And it comes back to what you said quite early on, actually, about helping people to feel welcomed and included in the organization, having that support network around them, rather than, you know, oh, who can I ask? And are they going to think I'm bothering them? And it just really helps speed that whole process up, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And it's interesting because I was looking before we met up at some of the companies, you know, the top companies to work for. And one of the main reasons, you know, Cisco was in there, for instance, and one of the main reasons that a lot of these companies, given such a high reference and such a high number, is because how they're made to feel.
Yeah.
They're made to feel part of the organization. You know, they feel that their opinion is listened to.
Yes.
That there's a feeling of worth, that they contribute to the business. And that's all done from induction program. That's done right from the grassroots. That's done from day one. And then you look at how long those people have been in the company, and it shows in the retention, you know, because from day one, it's felt that actually they are part of something really fantastic.
Yeah.
And down the line, that feeling grows, and they drive the business. And, you know, you get a very exciting organization that becomes very vibrant because you're there. And then therefore you want to stay, you know, and retention is really high for these companies.
Yeah. It's interesting though. You said they want to feel valued, and it's you hire people because you believe they're going to bring something to your organization.
Yeah.
So let them bring it. Don't try and beat it out of them and say, oh no, you must do everything this way. And I think what we're talking about, a very dynamic, very inclusive induction, allows them to share what they know and share their suggestions, get help where they need it. So they might come in with some experience, but actually, I know how to do this. I don't need a lot of training. I just need to know where you keep your files.
Yeah,
because they're in a different place.
Yes, yeah.
So it allows people to bring their skills and share them with the organization as well. Like I say, the organization develops.
Well, absolutely. And you may find that, you know, by listening to them, you go, gosh, why didn't we do that? That's a great idea. Why do we do it this way when we could be doing this way? And sometimes it's because, you know, somebody's just discovered a new way. And, you know, by bringing them into the company and being able to say, look, you have to fit, you know, into a square hole, you know, this is how I want you to be. And actually by saying, no, we'll listen to your ideas. You know, please give us feedback. We want to know how we can enhance our business. And that, and people like to share, and then people like to give, and then you get a very dynamic business because it affects everything that you do.
Yeah. And that's particularly important for professional roles, isn't it? Because I think there's sometimes a thought that professionals don't need inducting, but I have a little quote.
Gosh, they do.
But it's like top chefs, even top chefs can't boil an egg if they don't know where the pans are. So, you know, you do need to induct your professionals. And I know we are talking for a long time here. So just very quickly, manager inductions, Alex. Yeah. So even if you're promoted from within, I feel strongly that there should be a manager's induction. So I just want to get your views on that just for a few minutes.
Worth its weight in gold. And I do kind of speak from experience in the fact that, you know, I think when one is made up, for instance, as a personal way, you know, when you are promoted, it's so exciting. I mean, it is so exciting. It's also very scary.
Very scary.
Very, very scary. Because you're suddenly responsible not just for what you're doing, but for what other people are doing. And you're responsible to somebody up above you. And, you know, it's a lot to take. The role is so much bigger than you're used to. And you can get lost. Mm. You can get lost. You need somebody to go, right, this is how as a manager, these are the expectations. These are your expectations. This is how you can do it. This is where you can find help and support. And it's building that network that doesn't just say, well, you've got the role, congratulations, off you go. It's saying, you've got the role, now let us help you manage that role. So how do you deal with a difficult situation? How do you deal with, you know, filling in your monthly reports if that's what you need? These are the expectations. This is what we expect to see in this. So you help them and enable them to move into the role in a really positive and empowered fashion. Otherwise they get there and it's terrifying.
It's overwhelming.
You're setting them up to fail if you don't give them induction.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of organizations incorrectly think, well, particularly if we've promoted them from within, they know how things work here, but the new manager can only base what they do on the management that they have seen and they've experienced, and their managers might not be doing things properly. So this is when bad habits then become ingrained, isn't it? So we do need to say, and also when people are promoted, they get told what additional things they have to do, but they aren't told what they can stop doing.
Well, do you know, that is really important. And I think that is absolutely crucial, because I think so often they don't realize that they don't need to do that anymore. That's fine. This is what your job is now. This is what it involves. You don't need to worry about this. This is somebody else's role. And it's actually defining the outline of their job. It's sort of going, this is your new job role. This is your new, let's define what it includes and how you do it. Hmm. Otherwise, they're still trying to do two jobs rather than one, and wonder why life becomes so much harder. And it's just saying, no, don't worry, it's okay. You know, this is where you are, and this is what you don't need to do anymore, and this is what you can do.
And there's probably unrealistic expectations on all sides. So if we're going back to a brand new employee joining any organization, we don't expect them to be brilliant in role from day one. So if you are promoted to a manager, it is a brand new job. Yeah. You can't be expected to be brilliant in role from day one. There's a lot to learn. And I think everyone forgets that sometimes, and the level of support needs to be ramped up. But so many people focus on new manager training, and you know, I've got these ready written training materials, so I've got a whole new manager program just covering the basics,
which what you need, and it's great to be able to reference to them because they're so informative, you know, and that's what you need, you know.
Yeah, you just need them, as you said, with the ordinary induction, you just need the basics. You need to be basically competent, and then you can finesse that through experience.
But I think, you know, any induction, whether it's new management training or whether it's a new employee, I think every learning journey should be a path. And it should always, you should always, whether you're a new manager, have a kind of basics, as you were saying, and then I've managed my basics. I know I've got my checklist. I know I've managed to reach the satisfactory level. I'm outstanding. I know where I am with my journey. What is my next step and what is my next step? Just because you've learned the basics doesn't mean your training should stop.
No,
I do suddenly think that some organizations go, well, okay, we've ticked the box, you're done. And the answer is, well, no. Actually, there is so much more to learn. And just because they've been on a course for, I don't know, managing difficult conversations, well, there will be a further course that takes us a little bit further down the line and how to identify them so that we preempt those situations before they get there. You know, there is always a building block that will take you down your learning journey, and they should never end. It should always be ongoing.
Absolutely. That feels like it's quite a natural conclusion to our conversation. So I don't know if it's worth just summarizing some of the main tips that we have shared, but I think the themes have been consistent.
I think it's fluid, or certainly kind of modular, bite-sized, definitely hybrid. But I think it's also been, you know, fitting the training in with the work, so with the work itself, and adjusting it to the type of work they're doing. As you said, I mean, if you're doing a 3-day training course for a driver, he's not going to like being in a room for 3 days.
No.
So you need to adjust the training to fit the work and the individual.
Yeah.
You know.
And share the load.
Share the load. Yeah, absolutely. Support everybody, the line manager, the employee, the buddy. You know, it should be it's a group exercise, this. It's no one person. Everybody has a responsibility to help, you know, employees through and to improve their experience and increase retention.
Yeah.
You know, we all work together. It's everybody in there together.
So as you said, working with your stakeholders to help them to understand that we aren't going to be able to churn out the perfect employee in 2 weeks. So what is critical? And let's focus on that. And how is the best way to get this person up to speed, doing the basics, so they can be a useful team member? Yes. Not perfect, still got lots to learn, but useful. That, for me, is always a good guide. And something I've got in my guide to induction, which a revelation I had a few years ago, was how, and I know it's an old theory now, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong, is how induction can link to Maslow. So you've got sort of your physical needs, isn't it? So you would hope that's met as part of the recruitment stage. Yeah, so yes, it's going to pay me enough. Yes, I'm happy with the conditions.
Pay my bills.
Yeah. But then, so the second level is your safety. So obviously you need to feel safe at work, and that's not just, you know, fire escapes. That is, I feel safe to ask for help. I know where the canteen is.
Yeah. Have a seat and a laptop.
Exactly. And then it's esteem needs, isn't it? Social. So we need that person to feel part of the team.
Yes. And that bit is crucial, and I think highly undervalued sometimes.
Yeah. And that is such an important part of an induction, because if someone feels part of the team, if they feel they've got friends at work, they're far more likely to stay.
And then actually most of your job is done, because they will want to learn, because they feel part of that team and they want that team to succeed.
Yeah.
And it just ticks so many boxes.
Yeah. And then when we tip into the next level, which is esteem, that for me feels like the natural end of induction, because it's I feel I can do my job.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud of what I can achieve. I feel confident in what I'm doing. I understand where I'm going. and what I can, you know, what I can achieve. And I think that is.
And what's next, as you said.
About to say what, and then you move on to that. What's my next step? I've now feel so confident and I love what I'm doing. What's on the horizon for me?
Yeah.
You know, and that means you know, that's that really big induction's worked really well. That's been a good experience.
So you know? I hope that anyone listening to this now feels as excited about writing an induction program as we always do and doesn't see it as a procedural chore.
No, and it should never be a procedural. It should be, I mean, creating induction training is fun. It is just fun. It could, because you learn so much writing it. I think that's what I always find. And you can put your enthusiasm in, and the people that you talk to, you can incorporate all of their love of what they do into the training itself. It doesn't have to be dry and dull. It can be very, very exciting and engaging, you know.
It can be. I was going to start regaling tales then of the sorts of activities I've included, but I won't, because we need to draw this to a close. We need to draw this to a close. And what I would say is thank you so much, Alex. You are a VIP member of the Training Designers Club, so come along and join us there. Continue the conversation. Alex, where can people find you if they want your help designing an induction program, or even just to find out more?
You can find both myself and George. We have our website on CCW Learning Consultants, so you can find our websites on there. We're also on LinkedIn. Both CCW and myself, so Alex Castello Cortez, that's also on LinkedIn, and you can just grab a chat. We can happily just have a meet up, have a chat, and just talk induction, which, as you know, could go on for many moons if we get carried away.
Oh, it's always lovely to chat to someone else who has the same passion for a topic.
I like it because you can see the results when it's done well. You can see the results, and there's something very, very satisfying about being able to enable and empower not just the person that's joined the team, but the team itself and the organization that you're working for. It's quite magical,
and it does have such a huge impact on organizational success.
Yeah, it does.
So thank you so much for joining me, Alex. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh well, thank you, Sharon. It's been lovely. I've so enjoyed having our chat today. It's been great fun. Thank you very much.
And sadly, that brings us to the end of this season of the Training Design Podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed our last 8 episodes, which are all designed to give you practical insights to help make training design quicker, easier, and less stressful. We will be back in the summer with a 5th season of the podcast. And in the meantime, if you want to get your fix of practical insights, do check out the website, which is www.trainingdesignersclub.co.uk, for lots of free and low-cost resources. And of course, become a VIP member like so many of our guests and have that virtual team in your pocket. The other place you can find us is on YouTube. Just search for the Training Designers Club and you'll find lots of short practical videos there to help you with your training design. So that's goodbye from me until season 5.